So, Callum, what's your opinion on the notion of trans cavemen?
This again.
Again?
Yeah.
There was a first time?
Just trans Vikings. Trans
there was Egyptians, the trans Viking thing where it was just a woman buried with weapons, wasn't it? And I mean, we already knew that that was a Viking thing anyway. So why is it being made into this gender identity thing? Well, we know why, of course, because apparently we can't just have objective study of history. We have to inject ideology into everything. And the reason I'm talking about this is this article here from the Daily Mail titled LGBTQ people have been around since we were cave people. Comic and labor activist Eddie Izzard swipes at JK Rowling for wading into heated online rows over trans rights. And yes, they went on to say, this is also amusing as well, because in the article they say they go by Susie Eddie Izzard now. And in the title, they didn't get it right.
What's really weird about that is they use two first names.
I know, it is strange.
You know what excuse he gave for now being Susie Eddie?
What was that?
A young girl, when he was a kid, that he knew was called Susie. And Susie died. So now he wants her name.
Co-opting it after her death. That's quite sinister in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really creepy. A lot of people are like, hang on a minute.
If for some reason I got killed and then you adopted my name...
They start dressing like you.
It'd be very, very strange. You'd be like, yes, I've consumed his soul.
Yeah.
I've now got his power.
Eddie's a really creepy guy.
Yeah, I know. But I do want to... John's saying literal dead naming. But the article does it itself. And they do go on and say she this, she that, which is silly. I'm going to admonish the Daily Mail because... I looked up whether it's a crime in any way to misgender someone in Britain, because sometimes it can be quite unclear. And one of the first things that came up on Google was the NHS with gender dysphoria and saying, get treatment now, which I thought was quite funny.
Because in Britain, it's still a mental disorder.
So. Mm-hmm. Yes, but I just wanted to criticise this article, but I want to take... A bit of a look at the notion of trans people in history, because there has been a bit of colonialism going on here, where they're trying to claim that relatively innocuous things are evidence, clear evidence that that's a trans person. I mean, out of the statement there, I'm sure that there might have been lesbian, gay, bisexual people, but the T and the Q, I'm not so sure. I feel like those are modern notions, aren't they? At least to my understanding.
Well, I don't know. I think you can have... this isn't going on YouTube, so I can go full hand.
Yeah, you can.
No, this... Well, mental illness is as old as time, so that's correct.
Mm-hmm. That's well, gender dysphoria is, but they also didn't have the social structure to reinforce it. So maybe...
We didn't have the right to have babies yet, did we? Whereas now we do.
I don't know what you mean.
You know, the Monty Python sketch where he's like, well, Kevin should have the right to have babies. Yes, we'll have it in the Judean people's front. That he has the right to be a woman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Can't believe I forgot that.
That's all that's really changed. Mm-hmm. Because we now just say you have a right to be a woman.
Mm-hmm. But beforehand, I think if this was something that happened in history, they would have just maybe done more feminine things rather than be like, yes, I am a woman biologically. Yes, this is true. Rather than just saying, yeah, you know what, this is kind of what I like to do.
And well, let's be honest, they probably wouldn't have said he's feminine. They would have just said he's gay. Like, I'm thinking back. I don't know, like 1700 or something. So Bob says he's a woman, put him in the barrel.
But on the topic of early humans, I did a sub-series of contemplations looking at the origins of humanity, tracing back the human lineage 3 million years into the past to the modern day, talking about which things came about first. Like, we were bipedal very early, but didn't have big brains until much later. Surprise, surprise. But check that out if you're interested in this topic. And I wanted to torture you with some weird LGBTQ plus colonialism. So here's an article from the Scientific American, which starts off relatively well and descends into madness very quickly. And this is all the way back from 2012. So this is something that they've been trying to push for quite some time. And it reads as follows. And it is also titled The Allure of Gay Cavemen. And they're basically going to argue that they're not gay, they're trans, which is a bit strange because it's a skeleton.
It's kind of homophobic as well.
It is, yeah.
So again, the parody is like, I don't have a gay son. It's a woman.
They've got the Islamist position.
Yeah.
So it says, author's note. Earlier this month, obviously this is 2012, the UK Daily Mail reported on continued excavation at an archaeological site near Prague where researchers described an individual with an alternative gender identity. I don't know how that shows up in the archaeological record because even activists today say...
It's all in your head.
Yes.
It's not in your bones. So...
We've looked at your bones and we found out that your gender identity...
Thoughts in his bones.
I didn't realise that was a sub-discipline of archaeology, is we dig up thoughts from the past. It's such a silly notion. I can't believe that this is in a so-called scientific outlet as well. What scientist wrote this?
So I've just read the reputable German weekly Der Spiegel printed some crap as well.
Yes, reputable.
Not reputable.
The following post originally appeared at the Neuron Culture, hosted by Wire, after the original report last year. And it goes on to say, in 1993, the reputable German weekly Der Spiegel, which, as you say, is not reputable.
We did a book club that we literally used for the Soviet propaganda constantly. Where the Soviets would send them stuff and they called war to print. And they would, knowingly.
That's a great precedent for journalistic integrity, isn't it? Yeah.
They're still leftists to this day.
I'm sure they're still... posting Soviet propaganda, even though there isn't a Soviet Union anymore. So they printed a rumour that Ötzi, the 5,300-year-old frozen mummy, discovered it in Ötzl Alps. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Sorry. 2 years earlier, contained evidence of the world's earliest known homosexual act. In Ötzi's Hintern, wrote the editors, referring to the Iceman's hinterland, Spermien gefunden werden. If you require a translation, chances are you didn't want to know anyway. Do you want to know what that means?
No.
No?
No.
It's, can I use a bit of a euphemism to tell you the sure. rough meaning? They found evidence of a male, liquid that indicates a male. Let's just say that. The rumour quickly spread on computer bulletin boards as the recently unveiled World Wide Web inaugurated a new age in the free flow of misinformation. Oh, they've thrown in that buzzword. The origin of the rumour, as Cecil Adams discovered, turns out to have been an April Fool's prank published in the Austrian gay magazine Lambda Nachrichten. The joke about our ancient uncle being penetrated deep in the Alps was then picked up by other periodicals, but with a straight face. And I've actually heard about this. It's bled out into the culture as like, yes, they found that Iceman who was gay, but it was a joke. Everyone just talked about it like it was real.
Der Spiegel over there, that reputable outlet, published this joke.
Yes. And it goes on to say, 20 years later, it appears nothing has changed. On April 6th, 2011, Czech archaeologist Katerina Semradova spoke with the Iranian news service Press TV about their ongoing excavation of a burial in Prague that contained evidence suggesting a third gender identity. I don't know how you can tell that from a skeleton. So it says, dated to approximately 4,700 years ago, the archaeologists found what was said to be a man from the corded ware culture who had been buried in a way that was highly uncharacteristic for the time. Typically, the males from this Chalcolithic society were interred laying on their right-hand side facing east, while women were placed on their left side facing west. Accompanying the bodies would be gender-specific grave goods that the deceased individuals would presumably need in the afterlife. Weapons or tools in the case of males, or jewellery and domestic jugs for the women. I think that this person was found facing in to the east, the feminine direction, with some jugs. But, of course, they're relying...
No?
Yes. But it's interesting, yes. Women, they get given jugs in the afterlife. Okay. 12-year-olds in the audience, I'm sure, are laughing at that.
Yeah, I am.
But, of course... dating a 4,700-year-old skeleton is difficult. It's not perfect. So the entire article here is predicated on the assumption that the sexing of the skeleton is correct, when many of the articles reporting on this just admit, yes, maybe it's just wrong that they've sexed it this way, which would mean that it's just a perfectly normal grave for that time. But never mind actually looking into of course, the nuts and bolts of how they do this, they carry on like it's just a given fact. Yes, this 4,700-year-old skeleton, that's definitely a man. We know it for certain, for some reason. But it says, by all accounts, it seems that the UK Telegraph had the dubious honour of being the first in this case, and in so doing, committed two wrongs in just as many words. Gay caveman, first off, a person living in the Chalcolithic, a period previously referred to as the Bronze Age.
What do you mean, sure? Previously? No.
Yeah, loads of people refer to it as the Bronze Age, was not a caveman. I mean, that's just what people call primitive peoples, isn't it? It's just like a colloquial term that people understand, but I respect the pedantry here. And it says, this highly inaccurate term is usually used for Neanderthals and Cro-Magnon humans, both of whom lived 35,000 years ago. Secondly, an alternative sexual orientation does not make a person gay.
What? I mean, you could be bi, I guess. That's about it.
I mean,
I don't think there are any others.
Yeah, that's the only one, isn't it? Apparently. But it's just a weird thing to say. I mean, if it were that Ugandan guy interviewing someone where everything that isn't being straight is gay, then that might be warranted. But I think people understand that point. And it says
the women and have sex with men. That does not make you gay.
The first error is conflating one date with another that was seven times earlier, like claim goes on to beat a dead horse. And then it says, but the second error is conflating entire categories, like saying that everyone in Asia is Chinese. I don't know if it's like that, to be honest. Someone making the first error, we might excuse as merely being ignorant of specific time periods and the details don't normally encounter, but the second error is just plain ignorant. Like assuming that the sexing of the skeleton is correct. That might be plain ignorant as well. They say something that was lacking from almost every report on this story, a notable exception being Rosemary Joyce's blog post on the topic, was providing their readers with proper context of what was meant by third gender. Yeah, what is meant by that? Because I don't know how you can deduce that from a skeleton. Was providing their readers with the proper context. Yep. This is a term that can be best understood as an umbrella concept that incorporates multiple sexual identities that don't fit into either male or female social norms. How can you detect social norms on a skeleton? It's a term that is mostly used when describing non-Western societies, and the closest equivalent in our own culture would be the reappropriated word queer. What? Again, this is utter madness.
Just made
you found a skeleton that potentially might not be sexed correctly, and you're like, yes.
I've got a whole world of thoughts about that. None of them true. But let me publish them as science.
This next one's even weirder. So if you move on to this, cave art in China shows earliest transsexual orgy porn, claim archaeologists. And if you scroll down to the image, John, it's just a bunch of people T-posing, just going like this. And the reasoning is ridiculous. It says, they were discovered in the late 1980s by archaeologist Wang Bing Hiao.
This is a parody. This is a parody. I don't believe it.
This is the international business plan. I mean, their name
Wang
might be
has
Wang.
Found some transgender porn on the.
To be fair, it wasn't Wang that was the one that interpreted it.
Oh,
they just found it.
It was just taking part.
But now a fresh light has been thrown on them by author Mary Michio. By the way, this person is an author. I believe they're not even an archaeologist. Hang on, I'll just double check. But I think...
Random person claims, saw some cave drawings, now I'm gay. Call the Daily Mail.
Yeah, they're just a writer, I think, as far as I'm aware. But this random person has just speculated, and apparently this warrants a rewriting of history. Missio claimed that bisexual participants can be identified as hermaphroditic figures that combine male and female features. I'm sorry, but they were made of triangles?
Yeah. Not to mention the reality at the time, everyone would have stunk and been really ugly and hairy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's that big of a difference between the caveman and the cavewoman in terms of...
Mm. And especially when they're using geometric representations, you're just like, yes. You know what? That big triangle? That's a man. Smaller triangle, woman.
I mean, it works for the restaurants. Like, male and female toilets.
Well, you tell by the little skirt thing, don't you?
Yeah,
on the side.
Skirts on those.
Yeah, they all have skirts because they're wearing the little triangle at the bottom, aren't they? So it's impossible to tell, basically. And if you scroll back up to the picture again, John, I mean, can you really... I mean, they're all just kind of stood staring, T-posing, like some sort of video game glitch. So I really don't understand.
I also got two heads, I just realised.
Yeah, that...
On the left.
No mention of the two heads.
No. Two-headed porn, not interesting. Transgender porn, that's what I see.
Also, they're just like, yes, this is a literal representation of history. Of course, ancient Chinese people, two-headed. The more you know.
You know, I dread those. They do actually one day find some, like, a representation of two-headed porn or something. They just ignore it for the transgender porn next to it. That's far more valid.
Yeah, but it's like a Rorschach test for wokists, isn't it? They just see what they want to see in the image, whereas to
there's nothing
anyone there. Else, it's just like, oh yes, I think the most notable thing is the two heads. I don't know about you, but that should be the interesting thing. Why is no one taking the two-headed people seriously? I want to know. Did they exist?
Or the T-posing.
Actually, did you know that ancient Chinese people didn't actually walk around with their hands by their sides? They just walked around like this all the time.
Gonna have to redo all the documentaries about the kingdoms and the warlords. Chevron T-pose.
So apparently, the rock carvings depict females with masculine triangular torsos, hips and legs adorned... Well, if their entire body is masculine, maybe it's a man. Adorned with feminine headdresses and jewellery. Males are smaller, have thin legs and wear no decorations. Okay. So, Missio identified a third group bearing male phalluses but wearing female headdresses.
Okay, you can't see that for one. But even if you could, she's gone wearing jewellery, bit gay, basically tranny. It's just, what's wrong with you?
Have you ever seen male bling before? You ever seen rap videos before? The big gold chains?
But also just,
she's wearing jewellery, that's a woman.
Like, stop it. Get some help. What is actually wrong with you?
It says, one tableau depicts an aroused male with his arm around another man in the same state. The pair are watching nine women and two men dancing in a circle. At the foot of the scene is a lone male who masturbates, apparently. I mean...
I've seen T-posing, but okay.
It's very strange, yeah. And this is a quote from Missio themselves. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing the name. The tableau is a spectacular demonstration of sex as one of the driving forces behind the creation of art. Is it? It's not what I see.
It's the founding of art.
Victor Mayer, a professor of Chinese language and literature at the University of Pennsylvania, said the carvings were a forest of phalluses and vulvas blanketed in sexual symbolism. You seeing that?
I'm reminded of like those canvases that are just all red and then sell for $1 million.
Oh, like a Rothko or something like that.
Like this must be some way of funneling money out of Hunter Biden's accounts or something. Because how else do you get all this?
I don't know. And this professor said, such overt, by the way, pervasive attention to sexual reproduction is extremely rare for a burial ground, he said. An alternative reading of the bisexual figures is that it might be shamans. Another theory is that the male-female composites are twin-spirited people. Other than that, that's just the historical revisionist word for trans people. But yes, this is obviously nonsense. And we move on to this next one. This is actually the most reasonable thing I was able to find from World Queer Story, and it's titled "The Prehistoric Queer Art." Sorry, and you think, well, surely this is set up to be much like those previous two articles.
I mean, they have just taken the word history and just changed his with queer.
Yes,
and be like, that's the title of our article.
Mm-hmm. But this one is actually more reasonable than the Scientific American and the International Business Times.
Don't believe it.
Wait. The earliest depictions of homosexual art are a subject that's up for a lot of debate, and that's understandable considering that we're talking about primitive rock art, already more sensible. Our cavemen ancestors may have been a lot of things, but Picasso wasn't one of them. Actually, maybe Picasso isn't the best example. My point is, there's a lot of room for interpretation. So they're being more reasonable. They're saying there is a lot of room for interpretation, which none of the others said. They're just like, yes, not only are these skeletons male, or not only is this clearly overt sexual depictions of people T-posing. It's just ridiculous. And it says, arguably, the oldest depiction of homosexuality are the Grotta della Adora, or the Aduara cave in Sicily. I'm butchering those again. These particular images are estimated to date back to somewhere roughly between 9600 and 5000 BCE. The area had already been studied by paleontologists because there's remains of dwarf elephants nearby, but in 1943, Allied forces invaded the island. Basically, to summarize what they're saying, yes, one of the ammo caches blew up and revealed this carving in the wall. And it says, the particular drawing of note in the cave, which I believe the archaeologist Marconi herself believed was a homoerotic image, shows a circle of people around two men who are arching their backs. It's been argued this isn't actually an image of gay sex. And then again, it's a little hard to tell, but it, and they, I'm not going to read that, but they basically say, yes, it looks kind of kinky. Some people say it's an image of hunters hunting. And they say, hunting what? Which I kind of share the skepticism of.
Who's hey? What else?
Or of a religious ceremony, or possibly of acrobats. Honestly, I couldn't tell you, but that's why I included a picture of it. I sort of see seals, but what do I know really? So yes, this person is the most reasonable person on this topic. The person who's writing about the queer history of art for this queer outlet is just like, yeah, it's difficult to tell, which is the normal person's response. But if you look at this, do you think that this is a clear depiction of LGBTQ plus people? It's difficult to tell. I mean, you can see the human form, but it kind of looks like...
It could be a representation of, like, blacksmithing. It's just, I can't tell anything that's going on.
Well, there's also the fact that the figures that they're talking about there in the middle, that the receiver, let's just say, is on their back in a more feminine posture, and also the supposed... article of, I don't know how to put it in a polite way, but the article of penetration is more towards the belly button. So I'm not quite sure how that works.
No.
I thought that's okay. I'm no expert, but I don't think that's how it works.
You're saying that's a thing? Yeah, but you ever been taught, because apparently that used to be the symbol for gay in Britain, for like gay men. But it makes no sense, because like, what did you think gay people did exactly? Like,
that's how it works.
Just jousted or something.
They just dock together. But yeah, it seems very strange, but apparently the people writing for World Queer Story, most reasonable on this. Not what I expected, but there we go. And one final one is this one that I found. And this is someone trying to claim that there's a long and storied history of LGBTQI plus in Africa, which we covered recently, and there doesn't seem to be. But they've said ancient Bushman cave paintings in Zimbabwe clearly depict men having sex with men. I don't know about you.
Clearly.
But I'm not even sure that looks like... There's kind of a rough human depiction. If someone said these are like bipedal spiders, I'd believe them.
Yeah, I mean, this looks more like some kind of cordyceps infection of humanity. Like, you know the movie The Mist? You watch that?
Of course, yeah.
That's the vibe I'm getting.
It's like Cronenberg's monsters, and I don't understand what's clear about this. I mean, that there are some weird depictions, but how can you tell the men from the women?
Nonsense gets made. There's a great video I watched recently. I can't remember the YouTube channel, but it's about the myth that basically... all the Greeks were just homosexual and having sex with each other and thought it was normal. And then our oppressive society in the modern age thinks that being gay is different rather than the norm. Like, nonsense, obviously, on the face of it. But some people take it seriously and you think, oh yeah, there must have been loads of like gay pottery or something. Mm-hmm. So he went through literally every example of what is apparently homosexual pottery from the ancient world in Greece. I just like gave you the examples on screen that some people are claiming homosexual and they're not. I mean, some of them don't even depict humans. So it's just, I don't know how that depicted gay sex. And then he goes through it, and there's like seven, like 10,000 samples that survive.
I don't doubt there are some. I mean, yeah. It obviously went on, and it probably would be depicted. But
the point being,
you've got to be reasonable about
some
it.
Some people just pick up anything and just go, yeah, that's gay. Really?
There's also the fact that they just presume that it's some sort of celebration, whereas we've found graffiti in places like Pompeii, where they've just graffitied like...
very homophobic, it turned out.
Well, yeah, not only that, but they would graffiti penises and things like Maximus has the largest schlong and stuff like that. I'm sure they didn't use that word specifically, but...
Incontinentia as a whore.
It was the same sort of childish stuff that we did now. So who's to say that they're not depicting this stuff just to be lewd? And then maybe their parents come back to the cave and they're like, oh, what have you done? What have you drawn on the cave walls?
There's this like little pottery that they found, I don't know, in South America. It's this really fat woman, like hanging breasts.
Yeah, oh,
and
yeah.
And
so
they're like, oh, look, this is pornography from the ancient world. And there's that green text version where it's like, you know, hate Grog, his wife, ugly, make mold, be like, this your wife. 10,000 years later, people there whacked off to it.
Is that the really large one?
Yeah, yeah. Like, disgustingly fat.
They're trying to... that's actually argued as being, like, some depiction of feminine beauty or some feminine god.
Yeah.
But it's like, obviously, a spherical human being. Maybe it's a depiction of a god representing abundance. I mean, you could argue that far better than, yes, this is what feminine beauty looks like.
Every couple of months, though, you'll see some feminists being like, did you know that back in the ancient world, fat women were considered beautiful? So another one. Like, Grog was clearly making fun of someone.
Mm-hmm. Based Grog. That's all I have to say on the matter. But yes, the obvious thing is that lots of the readings of history going on here are projecting what the person wants to see, aren't they? I mean, the truth is that lots of these things, it's very difficult to understand an interpretation. You need lots of supporting evidence. You can't just look at the images and say, that's clearly gay sex or that's clearly a trans person, because you can't possibly know. So these sorts of assertions are just a Rorschach test for weirdness, really, in my opinion.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content that's on the site, such as the premium podcast, this one on ancient Roman dating advice. If you'd like to find out what else is being put out, you can follow on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.